Chapter 4 Sorrows of the Earthbound.
"You did what?"
shrieked Mrs. Hillman at her husband, who had just arrived home and was trying to explain his difficult day at work and how he'd managed to stay safely on the ground while their only daughter had lifted off into space on a mission the television news stations were calling a near-certain disaster. All communications with the spacecraft had been lost, according to the latest, and Ellen Heelman was most certainly not buying her husband's story. She threw a frying pan across the kitchen, just missing husband Jake, but shattering the large front window into pieces on the lawn outside. Ellen then ran out the back door, and Jake would have followed if he hadn't been distracted by what he saw through the broken window. Two news vehicles and a police car were parked in front of the house. Reporters with cameras and sound booms approached, and a police officer waited on the porch. More disturbingly still, two large suited men exited an unmarked black sedan across the street and walked toward the house. Why hadn't they stopped him when he left from work? Probably they would have if he hadn't snuck through the back gate on a seldom-used dirt road. The main entrance to the Neo Astro Propulsion Labs had been barricaded, after all, but the attention had all been on the liftoff and escape of the Neo Star. Now that the main event was past, and much as he dreaded it, it was only to be expected that they might come for a visit. The presence of police and reporters at least lessened the uneasiness of dealing with the mysterious black-suited men, putting the situation in the light of day, so to speak.
"I'm sorry, but my wife and I have nothing to say,"
said a weary Dr. Jake Heelman to the reporters.
"Officer, what can I do for you?"
"Just thought I'd see if I could help," replied Patrol Officer Roger Blaine, who explained that he was actually a neighbor of sorts, living just around the corner, though Jake, till now, had been unaware of it.
"Thank you, officer. Appreciate your concern. See those two gentlemen?" he said, referring to the suited men. "I'd appreciate it if you'd stick around while they're here."
Then, having second thoughts, he said,
"Reporters, you're also welcome to stick around. Give me a few minutes, and I'll come out to visit. In the meantime," he gestured toward the black-suited strangers, "those two men would like to speak to you."
The suited men walked back to the black vehicle and drove away. Jake then persuaded Officer Blaine to come inside. He couldn't remember ever enjoying a conversation with a policeman, but the officer seemed sincere, and it was a relief to bear the pain in his soul to a sympathetic listener. When finished with his newfound neighbor, and he hoped friend, he returned to the front porch and found the reporters still waiting. After speaking with them, he again stepped inside and shut the door. He could hardly remember anything he had said. The reporters had seemed to sense his pain and so wisely decided to leave. Seeing Ellen in the kitchen, he again attempted to speak with her until another pan flew past his head, shattering the adjacent hallway mirror. Ellen Heelman watched as her husband walked out the door and drove away in the old green Dodge. She then sat at the table and wept. Jake drove to the nearby mall, where he walked about endlessly, finding no relief while trying not to think about things he wished weren't so. When the mall closed for the night, he climbed into the back seat of the Dodge, hoping to get some rest. On top of everything else, he reflected that he'd also lost his employment, though that now hardly seemed important. Later, he awoke, surprised to be in his car, and experienced the slow return of memories he wished would never come back. Not wanting another pan thrown at him and unable to sleep, he drove into the desert, finally arriving at the Neo Astro Propulsion Labs. Here he found everything dark and the normal security gone. The outer gate appeared to be locked, but Jake found the padlock unlatched. He encountered no further obstacles and so drove to his clinic, opened the door, and lay on the couch in the lobby.
he was awakened by a knock at the main entrance. Rising to his feet, he saw a patrol car parked just outside. Sunlight shone through the front window, and Officer Blaine and another policeman waited at the door. A distraught Ellen Heelman, it turned out, had called the police to report her missing husband. Her next call had been to good friend Alice Blaine, the wife of Roger Blaine, who was somehow the officer dispatched to investigate. Blaine seemed quite cheerful and enjoyed telling his new friend how badly his wife had missed him. Jake called home and listened as his wife cried and praised her kind and wonderful husband. Blaine now wondered how anyone could leave such a wife. His companion, Officer Greeley, had a look that said he understood too well. The three of them walked across the parking lot and toured the Astro Propulsion Labs. The buildings were strangely empty, and some of the rooms seemed charred and blackened by fire. Officers Blaine and Greeley wished Jake well, then departed. As he drove home, Jake Heelman wondered how the labs could have been picked clean in so little time, as though a freight train had hauled everything away. He then remembered escaping the locked closet and the blacked vehicles already rolling into the parking lot as the Neostar rumbled skyward. Not even a day since it all began, yet it now seemed so long ago. He at last rolled into his driveway, parked, and walked toward the house. Ellen ran down the sidewalk, threw her arms around him, and sobbed. Taking his wife by the hand, they entered the front door. Tears flowed as his wife leaned on his shoulder, and they wept for their missing daughter.